And we are going to check in this morning with Women in Safe Homes. Joining us this morning, we have J.D. Martin and Chessa Skillo. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us on.
Thank you so much for being here. And I had spoken to Erica Paquette a little bit, and now with you a little bit, about just what is sort of going on, especially with this pandemic and more cases of child abuse and domestic violence, and how it is changing, I guess, in this time. That's maybe not the best way to put it. But anyway, thank you for joining me, and also to be here to help people understand what they can do and give them some sense of resources available. Who would like to start us off?
I can go ahead and start us off. So there was an article recently by the Anchorage Daily News where they had checked in with the Office of Children's Services, and we're starting to see that there's been less actual calls into children's services, but then when children's services are being contacted, they're seeing more severe cases of child abuse. And there's a certain amount of this that is expected when children aren't able to go into classrooms or interact with other members of the community. They're less likely to get those reports because other people outside of the home aren't seeing the children. And so they also see that, you know, when children return to school after the summer, there's normally an uptick in reports of child abuse. That being said, like, it's not, part of it is that parents don't always have the resources that they need, especially with this pandemic. We know that we're seeing a housing crisis and there's less employment than there used to be. And so, people are spending more time with their children, and they might not have access to the resources that they need to support their family. And so we just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, what are some signs of child abuse? What can you do if you suspect child abuse, or even if you're a parent who's just having some troubles, you know, some parenting resources, other resources in the community that you can reach out to before anything escalates, or you just need some support.
I was going to say, this is an especially difficult time because so many people are locked indoors.
Yes, exactly. I think it's difficult for everybody, and for, you know, the community at large. So it's more than just parents, but we definitely need to support our families during this time.
You mentioned looking for signs of abuse. Again, given that, you know, maybe the kids aren't outside playing as much as usual, what signs are you looking for that you might see in your neighborhood or in some child you know?
So some of the things that we normally look for might be harder to look for these days, like absence from school, or you're seeing children who are, you know, not supervised at an age when they should be experiencing supervision. Something else that you might see is, you know, a lack of inappropriate clothing. I mean, we have all this lovely snow today, but children might not necessarily have the appropriate clothes. That can be a sign. And it can also just be a sign that a family's struggling, that maybe they need to be referred out to a resource where they can get some better clothing or some, you know, some support with food, things like that. Other things we see are, you know, children who exhibit sort of inappropriate attachment styles, that maybe they're affectionate with people they don't know very well. That can be a sign. Or they're afraid to be alone, or they don't want to go home, things like that.
And I see you, Chessa, nodding your head.
Yeah, I'm just agreeing with what JD is saying. Those are all definitely things you can watch for. And, you know, sometimes you just have kids that are in your life, maybe family member, relatives, or, you know, kids that are normally in your neighborhood. And especially if you see a change in their behavior, that's another good thing that you can watch for. If a child is all of a sudden doing more poorly in school, or you just see that they are withdrawn, or their personality just sort of changes, that's a good sign that something might be going on. And so another great sign to look for is just asking the child how they're doing. Sometimes just asking them if they're okay or if they're scared to go home is a really good way to just see a sign if they're doing okay or not.
And JD, you mentioned that, you know, people may need help. They may need resources. They're not sure where to go and get them. So certainly, perhaps you have advice on parenting skills and sources. But is there also advice on where can they go to get perhaps help with food, help with housing, things like that? What resources are available there? Because that can be a part of it, of just struggling with not having a job right now or minimal income.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we're lucky that we do have a lot of resources here in the community, that there are, you know, I'm going to blank on all of them now that I'm on the radio, of course. I know Love and Action does a lot of work with food in the community. You can definitely reach out to us over here at Wish. We do food boxes for families sometimes. The Salvation Army does a lot of work around food. You can also reach out to, I know that this is an uncomfortable suggestion, but you can also reach out to the Office of Children's Services. Like, they love to catch families before they're having an issue where they have to come in, and they can connect people with resources, and they have access to more resources than we necessarily do. So there is lots of stuff in the community, or even if you just reach out to, you know, an organization like Wish or Community Connections, that we will find a way to support families and to find those connections that they might need for that support.
I was going to say that maybe you're not the right fit for what they're looking for, but you can help them find where they may need to go.
Absolutely, because we're never going to just say, oh, no, we don't do that here. Like, we'll figure out where it is that you need to go for that resource, because we want, you know, we want everyone to have access to what they need to be supported. And part of it is, a lot of this stuff is violence prevention, because violence doesn't just exist in a vacuum. It's normally happening because people don't have access to the resources that they need to live a supported, healthy life. So, you know, if what you need is food or clothing, like, definitely helping a family get access to that is going to create less strain on the family and decrease the risk of violence and other negative life outcomes.
Where can they get help with, say, coping and parenting skills?
Absolutely. I was going to let Chessa answer that. She's our parenting expert.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some really great resources. We do have a parenting class at Wish. And of course, it's right now we're not meeting in person. And our places are very limited, but we, you know, if you reach out to us, we can get you on a waiting list. And there are other parenting classes in town. I know ROC has had one, and I think it's still going on. Community Connections does a parenting class at least once a year. So there are different, you know, ways to get involved in that. And I would just, I have a few tips just for like the immediate right now for parents that might be struggling. And I would say the number one most important thing for parents is that they do self-care. Take care of yourself, you know, make sure that you're, have your those needs met, especially those basic needs like food and shelter, and, you know, get connected with somebody that can help you find those resources, whether it be Wish or another agency here in town. And then, you know, make sure that you're taking time for yourself, as far as, like, if you find that you're getting highly escalated or frustrated, take some time, some space away. And you can use that as an opportunity to really model to your children what it looks like to allow yourself to have a little bit of time away to calm down and kind of regulate your emotions, so that you can get back to thinking in a way that is more rational rather than just reacting. You can decide what your actions are going to be. And I often encourage families and parents to have a place in their home, if they can, whether it's just a corner in the house or something where they can have a quiet space, and children can even have an option to go to that space and just to have some time to calm down. Another thing that I would suggest for parents is to reach out for support, social support as well, whether it be just picking up the phone and calling a friend when you're frustrated or you just need to vent about something, or, you know, if you don't find that you have a lot of those supports, you know, you can call Wish, or you can call an agency that can help you just think through whatever's going on in your life. And I would encourage families, you know, anybody who wants to support a family, that's a really great way to do that, by just listening, by being there as a social support for parents and children as well. And then third, I would say to seek, to think about when you are disciplining, the difference between punishment and discipline and what your long-term goals are for your children. So it's so much easier to think short-term and immediately taking care of whatever this frustration is or problem in the moment. And punishment is a great way to get something done immediately, but it's not a great long-term solution. And so to think long-term about what things do you want to build in your children? What character, you know, do you want them to be able to learn how to cooperate and to have social and emotional competence in their lives? And how can you encourage them and build that in them versus punishing them for like an immediate response? So just thinking about the long term when it comes to dealing with your children and their behavioral issues. And then I would also just encourage parents to educate themselves on the development of their children, because I think so often as parents, we have expectations, and they might be because our parents have those expectations of us, but just understanding what is a reasonable expectation for your child, for your two-year-old, or even for your teenager, and understanding, you know, is it reasonable that they didn't think ahead when they made this decision? Or, you know, is that normal behavior? And just getting that kind of an idea in your mind so that you have a frame to work with. So those are just some tips that I have as far as for families and parents and those that are trying to reach out and help the families and children around them.
Ken, I hate to put you on the spot, but can you give an example of, say, a situation, and then what would be punishment versus a more correct long-term solution to that problem?
Absolutely, yes. So punishment is more focused on pain, blame, and shame. And that's sort of how our society is set up these days. You know, it's like we want there to be some kind of consequence that someone feels so that they're deterred from doing that action. But if you think back in your life and all the times that you've had, you know, maybe made some poor choices, was punishment an effective way to help you decide to make good choices? Generally, punishment will produce, you know, one of a few things. Rebellion. You can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do it anyway. Resentment. I can't trust adults. They're all against me. Retreat. Oh, I guess I'm not worth anything. Or I guess I just have to be a little sneakier, right? Or revenge. So instead of focusing on pain, blame, and shame, if we can focus on encouragement. So if a child is misbehaving, generally there's a reason behind that. Maybe there hasn't been good education on as far as what is the proper expectation in this situation, or maybe they are just really craving attention and they're seeking to get it in a wrong way. Or maybe they feel like in order to have significance, they need to be the one in charge. So encouraging that child might look like giving them extra tasks to do so that they do have attention, but in a positive way. So if a child is, you know, just constantly interrupting you and trying to, you know, let's say you're trying to work from home and they're just, you know, constantly interrupting you and acting up and doing things that are just, they don't have, seem to have a reason. That could be because they are just craving attention. So maybe taking 15 minutes every day as a time that child knows that they're going to get to spend a little bit of time with you where your attention is just focused on them, and giving them tasks to do so that they feel like they have significance and importance during that day is a way to encourage them rather than saying, that's it, you're going to go to a timeout and you're going to sit there for 15 minutes. that was a little bit probably longer of an explanation than what you asked for.
No, that's great. That's great. Thank you. Well, we just have a few minutes left here. Is there anything else you wanted to cover? Maybe give some information about how people can contact you if they have questions or need some help.
Absolutely. Well, we do have our 24-hour hotline that goes to the shelter, and that number is 907-225-9474. You can reach out to me at jd.m@wishak.org or get a hold of Chessa if you want to learn more about her parenting class at chessa.s@wishak.org. And this is all up on our website, which is wishak.org. We have lots of information on our shelter services, our education services. And I also wanted to promote one of the things that we do with regularity in the community is bystander intervention training, because there's a lot of times where you might see something that makes you uncomfortable and you go, oh, I wish I could do something, but you don't always necessarily know what it is that you can do. And so we like to teach people that sort of framework to help them make choices over how they can safely intervene in potentially unsafe situations. And so we're hosting a very short virtual bystander intervention training this upcoming Friday. It'll be online from 12 to 1, so the lunch hour, and you can get more information about that on WISH's Facebook.
Okay. All right. Great. Anything else you want to add? Or we're good. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much. Great information. And again, anyone out there who needs help, or maybe you know someone who needs help, help is out there. And certainly WISH says you can give them a call. And if they're not the right people to help you, they can certainly steer you towards the right resources. Thank you again, J.D. Martin, Chessa Skillo, for joining me this morning.